In what was a shock to many, on November 21, 2023, Michael Voris resigned from, quote, Church Militant, the organization he founded and led. Voris was asked to resign for breaching their morality clause, and the board accepted his resignation. For the board of, quote, Church Militant to actually take the step to request, or some might say demand, the resignation of Michael Voris, the founder, CEO, and face of their organization, indicates that Voris's breach of their morality clause must have been extremely serious. And this video will discuss what a former employee claims that breach of morality involved. As we covered in our 2016 video called Michael Voris Reveals His Dark Past, Voris admitted some years ago that he spent much of his adult life as an active homosexual, activity that is, of course, unnatural and totally condemned by God and the Catholic Church.
I will now reveal that for most of my years in my 30s, confused about my own sexuality, I lived a life of live-in relationships with homosexual men. From the outside, I lived the lifestyle and contributed to scandal in addition to the sexual sins. On the inside, I was deeply conflicted about all of it. In a large portion of my 20s, I also had frequent sexual liaisons with both adult men and adult women.
Voris's behavior in 2023, which led to his shocking resignation, was apparently so disgraceful that Christine Niles, Voris's former right-hand woman, so to speak, resigned earlier in the same month as a result of what Voris was doing. And consider the language that she uses about the situation. Niles says that Voris was not the same man. She says that she was heartbroken and furious over what he was doing. She repeatedly mentions how much anger she has toward the situation.
There were lots of troubling things over the past year, but especially over the past several months, about the direction in which Church Militant was heading, and some of the decisions that Voris was making, and quite frankly, his personality change. He is not the man that I came to work for in 2014. To say that I am heartbroken and furious is an understatement, okay? There's a lot of anger. There's a great deal of anger over this.
That language indicates that the breach of the morality clause by Voris was extremely serious. It suggests that it involved a deep betrayal of what they purported to represent. In Voris's own video, posted on November 21st, 2023, in which Voris cryptically announces his resignation, he refers to ugly truths from his past, horrible ugly things, and more.
There are some very, very ugly truths from my past that I, for essentially 62 years, have avoided facing because I didn't want to. I wanted them resolved, but I understand that the touching that pain is going to be a very horrible thing. There are things I have to go away and address and work on. They are, again, horrible, ugly things.
Considering these descriptions and the fact that Voris did not deny that the breach of morality was connected to his homosexual past, one is led to conclude that Voris's serious breach of morality, which led to his departure, was almost certainly connected in some way to his past homosexual lifestyle and sins. And recently, a former Church Militant employee named David Gordon posted a video in which he purported to reveal what Voris's breach of morality involved. In his video, the former Church Militant employee David Gordon, who was very recently fired from that organization, claimed that Voris lived a double life as an active homosexual.
Michael Voris was living up to recently. I don't know if it's ceased yet. I don't know if his behaviors have ceased yet, but living a life that involved active homosexuality. And we're going to get into the allegations that we're talking about. So while he has the gall to sit up there and preach to sweet old Catholic women on the Vortex about matters of spirituality, he's living a life of homosexuality, one of the screaming sins. You know, sins that cry to heaven for vengeance. That's what's going on. It's utterly despicable. It's two-faced. It's fraudulent.
He also mentioned allegations made against Voris that circulated at Church Militant. Those allegations included that a Church Militant staffer who went to Voris's home last fall found gay pornography involving an orgy on Voris's computer, that Voris was allegedly spotted more than once at a gay bar with a young man, that Voris received a gay sexting message, that Voris sent multiple shirtless photos to men, that one male worker thought that Michael Voris was grooming him.
Beyond these performance-based criticisms, we recall to the board's attention the allegations of Michael Voris's moral depravity contained in, and I'm editing out the name here, the 11-16-2023 email, which said, quote, and I am actually literally quoting from the email that was sent internally from another whistleblowing employee, that a church militant staffer went to Michael's house last fall and apparently witnessed porn featuring a gay orgy on his computer. He was too afraid to confront Michael about it. The staffer will confirm if necessary. A source claims Michael was recently seen three times at Adam's Apple, a well-known gay bar in Detroit, with a handsome younger man. Whether it's true or malicious rumor, this is what I was told. A screenshot of an illicit text message from Michael's phone was in Dropbox. That means the company's Dropbox account. It read, "I jacked off to your hot pick. At first I didn't see the nipples." And the message was cut off. It was from a number I did not recognize. Simon saw it and has a copy. Dozens of shirtless selfies and muscle pics from Michael's phone were inexplicably on Dropbox. You can see a couple attached. There were literally dozens like this. Simon has copies. I've learned Michael has been in the habit of sending shirtless selfies to multiple men inside and outside the apostolate. And on top of these allegations, it has come to our attention that Voris texted a potential large donor shirtless selfies, which directly caused this edited out donor to refrain from making very sizable donations to the apostolate. A male employee, and this is me just adding this for you guys' knowledge, a male employee of Church Militant also stated that he felt like Michael was grooming him, and several other staff members had noticed and remarked about their odd relationship and thought that it was inappropriate.
Those were allegations made to the people at Church Militant, according to David Gordon's video. To substantiate the point about the shirtless photos, this is a copy of one of the photos that was posted online. We've covered it up somewhat. It's highly inappropriate. Neither men nor women should be sending shirtless photos of themselves. The fact that Voris apparently sent this to his co-workers supports the claim that he has grave spiritual problems. Another former Church Militant employee named Christine Harrington makes similar claims about Michael Voris. She says that she saw Voris grooming young men herself.
Yes, Michael was grooming young men. I saw it with my own eyes. Christine crisply tried to report it to Simon Rafe. She saw the same thing. Christine Niles, when she saw the text message that was uploaded into the company Dropbox, she also went to Simon. Guys, nothing was done.
She also describes the other photos of Voris that were uploaded to the company Dropbox as erotic and so inappropriate that she cannot even show them.
The other photos are erotic poses of Michael with only short, short gym trunks on. So people were asking me to be descriptive.
Harrington also claims that she saw signs of Michael Voris's double life when she worked for Church Militant starting in September of 2021.
He invited a young staffer over, asked him to open up his laptop. There was homosexual pornography there. There was more. I mean, there's just so much. I witnessed the grooming myself while I worked there. I wonder how long he's been living this double life. That's a very good question. Like I said, I saw the signs when I worked there, and I was there from September 2021 to September of, April of 2022.
If these statements are true, it's truly an abomination, and it shows that Michael Voris was very much under the control of Satan. There is also the allegation that the board at Church Militant, knowing how much Michael Voris meant to their donor base, thought about covering up what Voris was doing by saying that Voris was going away for health reasons.
So when this stuff came out about Michael Voris's personal sins, you would think it would send board members and upper management scrambling to do the right thing and to find out about the truth of these matters. But when Christine Niles took this Dropbox, this message, the screenshot she found in Dropbox that said, "I just jacked off to your hot pick," and took it to Simon Rafe, he told her to delete it. He told her to delete that message off her phone, and then he shut down our Dropbox account.
By the way, with regard to the person Gordon mentions here, Simon Rafe, here's an interesting clip from our 2016 video called "Michael Voris Reveals His Dark Past," which was published long before the recent scandal. The analysis has proven to be totally correct. The perversion of Voris's producer, Simon Rafe. In this context, it's also necessary to mention Michael Voris's executive producer of premium content, Simon Rafe. Rafe is an important figure at Voris's organization. Rafe writes and speaks for Church Militant TV. In 2011, the Catholic news agency published an article exposing what could only be described as Simon Rafe's total perversion. The article pointed out that Simon Rafe authored an adult role-playing game depicting homosexuality. Rafe also went by the name The Dark Knight, and the text he authored vividly described a sexual encounter with a beautiful elven woman revealed to be, quote, the goddess of love. Rafe also wrote, quote, "If you would like to make love to the goddess, even if you are female, as well as an equal opportunity lover, turn to 11, end quote. Also, in a blog entry under the name Dark Knight, Rafe mentioned how he introduced lesbian elements into the storyline of Star Wars. So, one of Voris's main men, Simon Rafe, devised a game that included adult role-playing and a depiction of homosexuality. This happened while he worked for Voris. Rafe called himself the Dark Knight and authored a text about a sexual encounter with, quote, a goddess of love. He also wrote a story that introduces lesbian elements. Who does this kind of stuff? Only perverts. After he was exposed, Rafe apparently removed the content. However, Voris continued to allow Rafe to function in a prominent capacity. Voris continued to advertise Rafe's speaking events after this incident. In 2016, Rafe still has a prominent role writing and teaching for Voris's organization. When one considers Voris's admissions about being a longtime active homosexual, in connection with Rafe's work depicting homosexuality, it really makes one wonder, where did Voris and Rafe first meet? What is the history of their relationship? Like Voris, Rafe is a heretic who accepts the heresies of Vatican II and the idolatry of the antipopes. It makes sense that such heretical spokesman for the great harlot, the mother of the fornications, Apocalypse 17:5, would have a history of perversion. Moreover, in an article posted on Church Militant's website some years ago, they ridiculously and falsely called our website, quote, spiritual pornography. We think that that ridiculous article was probably authored by Simon Rafe, the man who, according to Gordon's video, deleted the illicit and horrible message. Was their absurd reference to spiritual pornography a matter of projection? Now, if these allegations or even some of them are true, and any reasonable assessment of what Voris and Niles themselves said about the situation leads one to conclude that Voris's immorality was almost certainly connected to homosexual activity, it shows that Michael Voris is under the control of the devil and is a monumental spiritual fraud. Now, in response to this, some people have said that this is not the time to kick a man when he is down or gloat over a person's downfall. Those people are attacking a straw man and missing the point. Voris is a public figure and frankly a massive false teacher who has misled multitudes. Hence, the facts about him are relevant. Indeed, recently he called true Catholics such as ourselves nut jobs and claimed that those who reject the apostate anti-Pope Francis should shut up.
If he isn't the Pope, then who is? If there isn't a Pope right now, then we are all sedevacantists, which opens up a whole other can of worms. Remember, there are Catholic nut jobs who say Benedict was not the Pope, nor John Paul, nor Paul VI. So why not say that with Francis also? If he isn't now, was he ever? Or did he just stop being Pope sometime after the conclave? Shut up. Please, just shut up and stay in your lane.
Well, it looks like God has quieted Michael Voris instead. Now, let me be very clear. We truly hope that Voris embraces the true Catholic faith and comes out of his sins. And we believe that one of the reasons he has been unable to conquer the demons from his past is that he sadly does not have the true Catholic faith. That's what we've proven in our videos about him. We believe that if he did embrace the true Catholic faith and the true positions on the current crisis, he would receive the grace to truly change and overcome his past. but the fact is that his organization was theologically rotten from day one. As we proved in our videos about him, long before the recent scandal, Voris was raised up to be an instrument of Satan to misdirect conservative-minded people about the true nature of the current crisis. From the very beginning, his outreach was heretical and extremely dishonest about the nature of the current crisis and the Vatican II antipopes.
Vatican II itself needs to be distinguished from what happened as a result of people inside the church who took Vatican II and twisted it around and gnarled it around. Lots of people see Pope Benedict as a kind of aging caretaker over a crumbling church. On the contrary, he is a warrior attacking crumbling civilization and trying to save it. The man in white is committed to exposing the falsehoods of contemporary man and bringing him back to his senses, much like the prodigal son needed a smack from reality to come to his senses. Benedict is both waging war on the current civilization and trying to love it back to health. From high over St. Peter's Square, he sees civilization for what it really is, a giant antheap kicked to pieces by modernism and relativism.
He did say many true things and engaged in some good criticism of the current apostasy, and his exposés of the corrupt and fake hierarchy of the Vatican II counterchurch should have just proven our point to anyone of goodwill, namely that the Vatican II sect is not the Catholic Church, but rather the prophesied end times counterchurch. But instead, Voris led people right back to the Vatican II counterchurch, to the heresies of Vatican II, to the new mass, and to the Vatican II antipopes who teach religious indifferentism.
Pope St. John Paul II.
Voris's organization even endorsed the heretical Vatican-Lutheran Agreement on Justification.
Voris's false position, which we've been analyzing, not only causes him to lead people back to the sources of heresy and apostasy, namely Vatican II, Paul VI, John Paul II, and Benedict XVI, but it actually results in his direct promotion of Protestantism. His organization actually put out a YouTube video which endorsed and promoted the 1999 Vatican-Lutheran Agreement on Justification. The following clip is from his organization's YouTube video called Joint Catholic-Lutheran Statement, 1031.
In the year 1999, representatives of the Catholic Church signed a document together with representatives of the Lutheran World Federation, a document known as the Joint Declaration on the Doctrine of Justification. This declaration states that the mutual condemnations of the Reformation times do not apply to the Catholic and Lutheran teachings, as they are expressed within the document. Although there are some important aspects of the justification that are not resolved by the Joint Declaration, it is an important landmark, helping the theological dialogue that seeks to create mutual understanding and greater agreement between Christians in fidelity to the truth.
The Joint Declaration with the Lutherans on Justification is outrageously heretical. See our article and video called Vatican-Lutheran Agreement on Justification Exposed for all of the details. But in short, the Joint Declaration with the Lutherans teaches that the primary Lutheran heresies on justification, including justification by faith alone, as well as Martin Luther's idea of at the same time just and a sinner, and more, are no longer condemned by the Council of Trent. The Joint Declaration proclaims that Trent's dogmatic decrees, which condemned these Lutheran heresies, no longer apply. The Joint Declaration also teaches that the remaining differences between Lutherans and Catholics on justification are no longer the occasion for doctrinal condemnations. That's blatantly heretical, because the Council of Trent solemnly declared that anyone who does not accept its teaching on justification is condemned. The Joint Declaration is a complete denial of the Catholic faith and a promotion of Protestantism. Anyone who tells you otherwise has no idea what he is talking about or is a liar. That includes Michael Voris. In fact, when the Joint Declaration was promulgated, it was promulgated with two other documents called the Official Common Statement and the Annex to the Official Common Statement. In the Annex to the Official Common Statement, Section 2C, which again accompanied the Joint Declaration, both the Lutherans and the Vatican II Church simultaneously declare that they believe in justification by faith alone. Quote, justification takes place by grace alone, by faith alone. The person is justified apart from works, end quote. So, Michael Voris' organization endorses the Vatican Lutheran Agreement on Justification. They speak of it in positive terms as an important landmark. That means that Michael Voris promotes Protestantism, the idea that faith alone is not a heresy, that Trent no longer condemns Lutherans, that Trent's canons no longer apply, and that one is justified by faith alone. This is a prime example of what I mentioned earlier, how his false position on Vatican II, Benedict XVI, and the cause of the present crisis results in his promotion of the very things he denounces. Since Voris adheres to Benedict XVI and blinds himself to the truth that Benedict XVI is a manifest heretic and an antipope, Voris winds up accepting and promoting the heresies contained in what Benedict XVI approves. Both Benedict XVI and John Paul II approved and praised the Vatican-Lutheran Agreement on Justification.
Voris thereby played a major role for the devil in misleading a large number of conservative-minded people, so the fact that he was dismissed for notorious immorality from his own organization makes sense. He's under the control of the devil, and so is the organization Church Militant. Even though they say some true things, the organization is not of God, it's heretical, and they obstinately defend the false Vatican II counterchurch. Also, some people who are now recognizing for the first time what we covered well over a decade ago, namely that Voris and Church Militant are not of God, have wrongly concluded that the problem with Church Militant and Voris was that they were condemning various scandals of the, quote, bishops in the Vatican II Church.
For those who hear the message and watch old Vortices and hear Michael Voris's messaging and the way he touched the bishops and the popes, you know, his takes on them, the tenor with which he approached them, you know, they have a right to know certain things that were going on that would have affected his tone and maybe brought to bear certain problematic elements in how he spoke of the shepherds of the church.
No, their exposés of various false bishops in the Vatican II counterchurch were some of the best things that they did. The problem is that they obstinately adhere to the heresies of Vatican II, they accept the new mass, and they recognize obstinately the apostate antipope Francis and the other Vatican II antipopes. The Vatican II sect is not the Catholic Church, it's the prophesied end times counterchurch, the Whore of Babylon. So their problem is that they adhere obstinately to a counterchurch, not that they point out some of the obvious problems and scandals that are occurring in that counterchurch. Another Church Militant employee claims that in just one recent year, Church Militant took in about $5 million in revenue.
So Church Militant in 2021 had revenue of about $5 million, okay? Or it had contributions and other kinds of revenue that added up to about $5 million.
That's a sad example of how many people are inclined to false teachers and desire to support a false message of partial truth. As our material proves, Church Militant does not stand for the true faith. However, many people, because they lack supernatural faith, and they don't reject heresy, and they do not receive the love of the truth, are inclined to the false position that criticizes some of what's happening after Vatican II, yet obstinately remains in communion with the notorious heretics and the antipope of the Vatican II counterchurch. It's bad will. A Catholic, of course, should not support a religious organization that teaches heresy or does not adhere to all the true positions. The fact that his own organization essentially booted him for immorality is frankly a striking confirmation of our assessment of him, which we initially posted in our video called The Michael Voris Deception on November 22, 2011. Interestingly, since Voris resigned on November 21, 2023, that means that the first full day on which Church Militant functioned without Voris as its leader was November 22, 2023, the anniversary of the date on which we published our first video about him. It's also interesting that in our 2011 video, The Michael Voris Deception, we repeatedly compared Voris to, quote, Father John Carapi.
In this way, he is similar to John Carapi and many other modernists. Michael Voris has become perhaps the most significant figure in what we would call the, quote, conservative wing of the Vatican II Church. This wing encompasses people who adhere to Vatican II and the post-Vatican II antipopes, but they are at least spiritually awake enough to recognize severe problems with the post-Vatican II Church. Since they manifest some level of opposition to the post-Vatican II orientation, Satan works diligently to keep this crowd deceived and off balance, lest they find the full truth and save their souls. Voris has arguably become the most popular voice in this movement, having superseded the disgraced John Carapi and other figures.
Well, in 2009, when John Carapi was extremely popular in the Vatican II Church and had a large following, we put out a video called, quote, Father John Carapi Exposed, in which we denounced him as a spiritual fraud based on his horrible compromises of the faith. We said he was a phony. We were denounced by many for making those statements, which were in fact a necessary and true assessment of him based on his public heresies and compromises of the faith. Well, 2 years later, to the great shock of many, Carapi was found guilty of horrible sins by his own order, including sexual misconduct and substance abuse. That proved that our analysis of him was spot on. You can learn more about that in our video called The Truth About, quote, Father John Carapi. You heard it here first. Although the sins and immorality of the two are somewhat different, there are striking parallels between Carapi and Voris, and in both cases we accurately assessed the situation and the persons involved when few could see it. Basically, no one was saying what we were, and it was not necessarily popular, and in many ways it was very unpopular. It's similar to how we were the first organization in the world to point out that there was an imposter Sister Lucia, which was subsequently confirmed by forensic analysis. That video, The Michael Voris Deception, contains a lot of important information, as does our 2016 video called Michael Voris Reveals His Dark Past. If you watch The Michael Voris Deception, you might want to watch it at 1.5 or 2 times the speed, since the audio was read rather slowly for a technical reason at that time, which was improved in later videos. In The Michael Voris Deception, we also covered Voris's strange ritual of essentially conjuring a vortex.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Vortex, where lies and falsehoods are trapped and exposed. I'm Michael Voris. Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Vortex, where lies and falsehoods are trapped and exposed. I'm Michael Voris.
We pointed out that even though he didn't intend it to be occultic, it essentially was occultic, and it opened him up to the influence of demonic spirits. Many people agreed with the point. Others mocked it. Well, with Michael Voris himself now openly admitting that he has demons, it's just another striking confirmation of the accuracy of our analysis, an analysis that was posted more than 12 years ago.
I have been looking at the ugliness surfacing inside, have not liked it for a number of times. In my head, I had written my resignation letter already a handful of times this year. And like I said, in one sense, kind of relieved. I need to conquer these demons.
See our website, VaticanCatholic.com, and our material for the true Catholic faith, and a full explanation of the current crisis.